Prochain arrêt, CERN. Terminus.
Hello and welcome to In Particular.
Tales from the Particle Frontier.
I'm Tova Holmes.
And I'm Laura Gianti.
And we're both particle physicists here at CERN.
In this podcast, we'll explore physics and the process of discovering physics at the high energy frontier.
We're coming to you from the ATLAS experiment, one of the particle detectors around the Large Hadron Collider ring that discovered the Higgs boson in 2012.
For the last 2 years, the LHC has been ramping up to be able to collide protons at even higher energies. Any day now, we'll get collisions at a new record energy.
On ATLAS, we've improved our detector, we've developed new analysis tools, and now the question on everyone's mind is, what will we see?
Not what could we see, although that's an interesting question that theorists have been exploring for decades. They have come up with many motivations for all kinds of new, cool particles that we could find in these higher energy collisions.
In this episode, we're interested in exploring a related question. As individuals working on this experiment, what do we actually think will happen? This is a unique opportunity to see how diverse the expectations are among our fellow physicists before we're biased by the results.
Are we willing to make bets on what we'll find?
Do we all carry around secret hopes for our favorite new theory?
And as scientists, are these even relevant questions to ask?
So we've done something a bit unusual for physicists. We've asked our colleagues about their hopes and dreams.
And whether they think reality has any chance of matching up.
My name is Eric. I'm working at ATLAS, and my work concerns the properties of the Higgs boson. So my personal favorite in findings for run data taken with Run 2 would be something involving extra dimensions and possibly things which alter the way we see our reality right now. That would be the biggest impact in a philosophical way on our understanding of the universe and reality, and that would be something I really find very thrilling.
Right, my name is Murray Landon. I'm with Queen Mary, part of the University of London. I guess it would be nice to know about dark matter, really. I mean, it always seems very embarrassing that we think we know almost everything about physics and still are missing 95% of the universe.
I am Francesca. I'm just finished my PhD for a German university, but actually I am Italian. I work on searches for supersymmetric particles. The best case scenario is that we immediately start to see something exciting. I would like to discover what I'm searching for, so I would like to discover supersymmetric partners of the top quark. Yeah, of course, I would like to see this. In particle physics, it's all about symmetries. Supersymmetry postulates that for each fermion of the standard model, so each particle that we matter particle that we already know, there is a boson, and vice versa, for each boson, there is a fermion. But just by doing this, we can build a theory which really solves a lot of shortcomings of the standard model. This is not something artificial, in my opinion. This is something that, yeah, I find really reasonable.
My name is Aaron. I'm from the U.S. originally, and now I'm working for CERN. Hoping is the interesting way to put it. It'd be nice to see something that to me hints at the answer to why the Higgs mass is so small. I mean, my money would be on something like top partners. New particles that are like top quarks but not quite like top quarks. Like there's something like one thing that's different about them. Everything else is the same. If you just have the standard model, the top quark will add to the mass of the Higgs boson so that it kind of goes up to the mass of the Planck scale, which is just something that's, you know, many orders of magnitude than over what we see. And it's a big problem that we have is that the theory tells us that unless you really fine-tune the
the theory that you should have some really large Higgs mass, so it's kind of unnatural in a sense. Fine tuning is a classic example is walking into a room and seeing a pencil which is balanced on its tip. It's like we walk into this universe and see that there are some parameters in it that are fine tuned down to one part in 10 to the 26th. You know, this is some weird thing with the universe. Having a top partner is some like elegant way of solving this problem. So it's satisfying in that sense.
So there were a lot of different answers there. Francesco wants to find supersymmetry. Aaron wants to find top partners. Eric is interested in finding extra dimensions. You know, there's a huge range of what people are interested in. And that's very different from the beginning of run one, the first time we turned on the LHC. Because then, although people were looking forward to finding all kinds of cool things, also, there was a lot of focus on the Higgs. We had the standard model, and the standard model worked extremely well everywhere we had ever been able to measure it. But there was one problem, and the Higgs boson would fix that one inconsistency. And without it, or something that was just like it, the model itself was broken. And it was broken at the energies that we were able to test in run one. So we were pretty sure we were going to find the Higgs, the whole model would be broken, or there would be something that would work just like the Higgs.
But right now, our model is consistent. It may be missing certain features. It may not be able to explain every single thing we see. But it does internally make sense, and everything is consistent within it. So right now, we're looking at, okay, we have dark matter, and that's not really explained by our standard model. How can we extend it to explain that?
So let's talk a little bit about some of the questions. So one of the questions that the standard model doesn't answer is, what is dark matter? We know from astronomical observations that there's a huge amount of the universe that isn't made of particles that belong to the standard model. So we're looking for an explanation, a way to expand the standard model that would explain what dark matter is that we can only see gravitationally right now.
Then there's a whole other matter of sort of numbers that aren't what you'd expect them to be in the standard model. That doesn't mean they're broken. It just means that it doesn't look very neat. And so extra dimensions is a way of understanding why gravity is so much weaker of a force than the other forces that we interact with.
And so that's why run two is so exciting, and exciting in a different way than when we discovered the Higgs boson, even though that was incredibly satisfying because it proved that this standard model that we had established over the last 50-100 years works even in this final prediction. It's completely and internally consistent. But run two is exciting because we have a lot of questions and we don't have a clear winner in which theory is going to solve those questions. And so we are looking everywhere.
So in run one, basically everyone thought it was very likely that we would find the Higgs boson. With all these new theories swirling around now, what do people actually think is the most likely one?
Everything points to something showing up to answer this question at energies that we're probing. My money would be on top partners. I would definitely bet a whiskey on it.
So some people, like Aaron, who is hoping to find top partners, were pretty confident that the thing that they are hoping to find would actually be the thing that we see in run two. We talked to some other colleagues of ours who were not quite as willing to commit to one answer.
I'm Kyle Cormier. I'm a PhD student at the University of Toronto. And right now, I'm spending most of my time working on some upgrade stuff for the inner detector. In about 10 years, we're hoping to actually put it in there and get some data with it. If I had to bet, I think I would have to say, I really don't know. I don't know. I can't make a bet. I'm sorry. I think it's more likely that we'll find something new. I just don't know what that new thing is going to be.
We found a trend when we asked what people thought was most likely for run two. A lot of them included the words, "I'm afraid."
I think I'm a bit afraid that the most likely outcome is we find nothing new. I think that would be boring in a way, and it makes it harder to motivate people to carry on.
First establish what we saw in run one a bit more, understand more about these things we saw, and then I think not much will happen actually for the first time, I'm afraid. It might even be the case that we don't see anything new that might be the reality.
I'm Matt N.K. Smith. I am at Columbia University. I'm not sure that I really have any hopes for any specific findings. I mean, it would always be nice if what you're small patch of space that you're looking at happens to be the one to find a new discovery, a new particle that has never been seen before. But for me, the hope is more to, I guess, check some boxes somehow. Maybe I'm being overly practical here, but I think that at the end of this run, we're going to be in more or less the same place that we are right now, but with more comprehensive knowledge of our own limitations, meaning that we'll have a very good understanding of the standard model physics, but perhaps still be completely in the dark with beyond the standard model.
So I think it's really interesting that we have some people who are pessimists and some people who are optimists. I think that speaks to the fact that when it comes to what we think is likely to happen, that's not a scientific question. That's really a question about us as humans and what we want to happen, about our desires, which really has nothing to do with what's actually going to happen.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who are afraid to get their hopes up, and there's a lot of people who can only work if they have their hopes up. But if we were being proper scientists about it, do you think we would even entitle ourselves to an opinion?
Honestly, I cannot really say. I do think that this will, so we will find or not find something new. We are speaking about discoveries. They can happen or cannot happen.
My name is Christian Ohm. I am a postdoc working for the Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory. So being an experimentalist, I don't think I'm entitled almost to have an opinion on how likely it is that we find something. It certainly, of course, shouldn't be something that we take into account when we do our work. We shouldn't let it bias how we do our work. But I also think it is, I don't know, from my standpoint, I'm probably less theoretically motivated and more experimental in my nature, I think. I think it's strange to have a strong opinion on it when, at least when you have your experimental hat on. I think that there are large, very important questions open in physics that need to be answered, and this is what drives why we do these experiments. But we don't know what that new physics actually looks like in our detector. So in terms of the motivation for doing the experiments and spending all this money on it, I think that needs to be very well motivated. But when it comes to what signatures to look for in our detector, I think we should be very open and not be too targeted on things that theorists are very fond of, for example.
Our colleague Anatoly went even further than Christian, talking a little bit about what being a physicist does to how you think about these problems.
My name is Anatoly Romaniuk. I'm a professor of Moscow Physics and Engineering Institute. I hope very much you'll find some new particles. As a sort of physicist which belong to community of physicists, I say this is unlikely. As your usual human being, I would say probably this would be very likely. Physicists have dreams very much. They have solid background of thinking. Ordinary people don't know background which physicists work with and or on, and they have more imagination, they have more expectations.
So as a community, if we're really excited for looking for all of these new things, but we can't agree on what we're going to find, or even if it makes sense to talk about how likely it is that we might find something new, what do we all agree that's going to be really important to do with the data that we're going to collect now?
Right. How can we justify doing run two if we don't know that we'll find a new thing? Well, we don't have to find a new thing to learn new things. What we can do is make measurements.
So one thing that's sort of interesting about Higgs measurements is it allows you to probe somewhat indirectly potential effects that are beyond the standard model. So if we measure, say, how strongly the Higgs couples to other particles, other theories beyond the standard model can affect these couplings in some observable way. So if we perform these measurements and see that they're not quite standard model, it'll tell you that maybe there's some other theory that's interacting with the Higgs. You know, maybe there's some signature that is just completely undetectable at the LHC. This is some way to probe that without actually having to find some new particle that may not even be produced in proton-proton collisions.
One thing that's extremely important is that we aren't finished with the Higgs boson. So we discovered this new thing, the Higgs, and in run one, we started to be able to measure some of its properties, the way it interacts with some of the other particles in the standard model. But we have a long way to go in understanding exactly how the Higgs boson behaves. And in fact, maybe it's not even the Higgs boson that we think it is.
When the Higgs boson discovery was first announced, here's what CERN's Director General Rolf Hoyer had to say about it.
As a layman, I would say we have it. But as a scientist, I have to say, what do we have? We have something, yeah? We have discovered a boson. And now we have to determine what kind of boson it is.
He does such a great job of making this question and this importance so concise, because we know that we have something that looks like the Higgs boson.
It interacts with other particles like the Higgs boson, but we don't actually know it's the Higgs boson. Since Rolf Hoyer made those remarks, we've done a lot more studies and we can tell for sure that this is a Higgs boson. But extensions of the standard model could change the game for the Higgs boson. For example, if we have supersymmetry, there are five Higgses, so it's not the Higgs boson, it's one of five. So even though we've improved our understanding of the Higgs boson since the discovery was made, there's still much more to do, and many of those different studies could result in us discovering something totally new beyond the standard model. So we can all agree that discoveries or no discoveries, we have a lot to learn in run two. But let's go back to our friend Anatoly and revisit this question of dreams.
Do you think it's a good thing or a bad thing that physicists don't have dreams?
Laura, come on. maybe I'm alone who does not have dreams, so I cannot tell about all physicists. But I hope very much. I may not have dreams, but I hope very much that we'll find something. Nevertheless, generally, physicists, what actually says me that, or sort of feeds my hope, that is normally the physicists find something which they don't expect. This is what we are doing all our life as physicists.
In fact, even with this mass of new theories that no one can choose between, when we asked our colleagues, their gut reaction was that they wanted to find something unexpected.
Something unexpected, I suppose, is the most interesting.
It would be really great if we find something new, something thrilling, something we yet not understand, and maybe something we do not expect yet. That would be the most thrilling thing which we could find.
My best case scenario is we find something that absolutely nobody expected and everybody's going, what on earth is this?
I think this is really interesting. Why do we want to find something unexpected? There are a lot of really cool theories. Why do we want to find something that isn't already theorized?
I mean, for sure, it would be a lot more confusing. But I think it's the confusion that is really exciting to experimentalists. When they think, the thing that I've found is not something that I can just say, oh, I've checked off a box, as our friend Matt would say. When you are finding something new that has everyone scrambling to think of new creative solutions, That's the most exciting thing for an experimentalist.
I think it comes down to the difference between answering questions and asking questions. So when we found the Higgs boson, that was incredibly exciting, but in some ways it was answering a question. What prevents the Standard Model from being inconsistent? But if we find something unexpected, something that we don't know how it fits into the Standard Model, or then it actually opens up questions. And it's more fun, at least in my opinion, and I think for many of our colleagues, to ask questions, to generate questions rather than to answer them.
But when you really think about it, every single one of these things we've talked about will generate lots of new questions. Here's Francesca talking a little about that.
In case we find something, we are not immediately able to say, okay, hey, this is a supersymmetric particle. No, we can only say, hey, there is an excess, and this is something that does not belong to the Standard Model. It's not something that we expect. And then the real work would start.
Even if we find something which has been predicted, even if supersymmetry appears in run two, it will still be unexpected.
And not just because we don't know that we're going to see supersymmetry. Unlike the Higgs boson, where every little bit of the theory that predicted it was set in stone, so all you have to do is find this Higgs and its mass gives you a prediction for every single other thing it does. Supersymmetry is an open field, and so are a lot of these other theories. If we see a new particle, we won't know it's a supersymmetric particle. It could be anything, and we'll have to open a lot of doors.
Yeah, so there are over 100 free parameters in supersymmetry as a theory. The Higgs boson had one free parameter, its mass. But supersymmetry, even if we find it, we have no idea what it's going to look like. And so when we find something new, it's going to take us years of work to figure out what that something new is actually telling us about how the universe works.
Right now, I don't think there's any scenario in which we know immediately what we're looking at when we find it.
The only scenario in which that's true is if we don't see anything, and then we know we're not seeing anything new.
That is true.
Thank you very much for listening to our inaugural episode of In Particular. You can reach us on email at inparticular@cern.ch.
And you can find us on Twitter at Particle Podcast.
We'd love to hear your thoughts, questions.
Anything you're curious about, something you might like to hear an episode on.
We'd like to repeat here that the views expressed in this podcast are our individual views and the views of the people we've interviewed. This is not meant to represent the Atlas collaboration as a whole.
If you'd like to learn more about the Atlas collaboration, or if you're curious about some of the theories we mentioned, you can go to atlas.ch and find tons of videos from our colleagues about every different theory we've mentioned, as well as a lot more.
Stay tuned for our next episode.
We'll give you an in-depth look at a few things that we've been working on in the bustle leading up to Run 2. You'll get a sense for what crunch time on Atlas looks like.
This episode was produced